And think about all the girls, like all these gorgeous Instabaddies on the trip, and just Phil being the plus one.
It'll be like The Bachelor. I'm the bachelor on the island.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Back to TK's Juicy Pod. I am here with my iconic guests and friends, Jocelyn and Lily.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
No, thank you for coming on. I am so excited to talk to you guys because I feel like I'm just like FaceTiming my friends.
We're recording it, you know? So excited to meet your brother. I feel like I know you from all of her posts. Hi.
How's it going? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, well, Phil, Jocelyn and Lily are some of the nicest influencer people I have ever met, and so kind, so warm. I remember the first time I met you guys, which was so funny because now, like, full circle with Pretty Basic, it was at a Tarte brand trip, and Pretty Basic just came out with like a Tarte thing. And do you guys kind of want to explain, like, to Phil, like, the tea on a brand trip, like how much products?
Well,
they
I was
have.
Just gonna say, even that, like, we're not beauty gurus, so we don't usually get invited on brand trips.
Literally,
this is like
me.
A huge deal. We were like, oh my god, we're going on a trip in with Tarte. Oh my god,
because like you don't
like, we
also,
finally arrived.
We had been manifesting getting invited to something like this since at least 2016. Like, at least 2016, we had been like, one day, if we make it big time, we'll get invited to a hashtag trippin with Tarte.
But I will also throw out that all of the trippin with Tarts that we had seen were in like some tropical paradise, and like, we would go to the one that's in New York.
Who cares? But it was still amazing.
Time out. Does every single influencer manifest? Every person that comes out here talks about manifesting.
It just becomes like a, it's a code for just sitting and wishing for something to happen.
So we had been told, it's almost like a folklore in the influencer community about these trippin with Tarts. And I do not say that exaggeratively, but like, you would see photos on like people's Instagrams or images of like what the room looked like, the hotel room looked like.
Yes.
When you walked in. And I was like, yeah, whatever. That probably just happened once. PK, when I tell you, I walked into my room and there was like a closet full of a new wardrobe and looked like fancy AF brands, like a $200 swimsuit. Okay?
Literally.
In my size. And they never asked for my size. It's like, they just knew me so deeply, and makeup and snacks and like, up on every
not to mention
inch
it,
of the room.
It wasn't like a one time, like the first time you go in the room. It's every time you get back to the room, there's a new thing. It's
how many days was this?
Two, three? I don't know, four, seven. Wow. I feel like there was at least like five different deliveries made in the room throughout.
There were, and there was thousands of dollars worth of makeup. Yeah. I think Annalise counted it up.
More makeup than I have owned in total over the course of my entire life.
Literally. And I think Annalise and Joe, you guys know them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, love them.
They counted up all, they added up. Do you know how much it was, like the exact number? I think it was around like 5K.
I think that sounds right too.
Worth of makeup in the
room. And that doesn't include like the trip to get there and like all of the like private box we watched the game from. And
yeah. And then on top of that, they even gave everyone a suitcase so that you could bring all of the makeup and all of the clothes and all of the stuff that was in the room every time you came back.
That's how you know for
you to pack it on the way home.
That's how you know that there's a lot of stuff, is because they need to give you extra things. You're like, oh, that's not going to fit in your suitcase. We need to give you packaging for it.
And they had it for the plus ones too, which, like, I mean, that was my first ever brand trip, like as a plus one.
Oh, you're like ruined forever now, because nothing's ever as good. No, and that was the other cool thing, is that some brand trips don't even give you a plus one. Like, that's kind of luxury also. You guys need to start manifesting a sibling trip together. And I don't know who it's going to, maybe you guys can go on like one of those Revolve trips.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to be a plus one. That sounds awesome.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure you end do. First.
Yeah, and think about all the girls, like all these gorgeous Instabaddies on the trip, and just Phil being the plus one.
It'll be like The Bachelor. I'm the bachelor on the island.
Oh my gosh, if you do it, please film the whole experience.
Yeah, vlog it.
That would be the best video ever.
That literally would.
I already see it as like an 8-part TikTok series.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So for anyone that for some reason doesn't know who you two awesome chicks are, can you kind of give us the down low on everything, how you got to where you are now? I want to know the tea on Clever. I want to know the tea on Amazing Race. Everything and anything. And yeah, go give us your spiel.
So I am one of the people who originally started the brand Clever back when you guys were probably in like fourth grade. And I'm, again, not exaggerating. So I've been on YouTube, especially as far as Clever, for I think like 13 or 14 years. I'm not very good at math, but we started the channel in 2008. We grew that company and then sold the company and blah, blah, blah. Cut to, gosh, Lil, what year was it that you became my intern?
2012.
Yeah. So Lily became my intern, and just kind of to like flash forward things a bit, Lily was obviously the smartest, most gifted, most talented person I had ever worked with. And I was
straight
like, why are you not on camera? Why are you not a star? You're the most competent person I'd ever met. Because as we all know, it's very hard to find competent interns in this town. I forced her into the spotlight like any momager would. And now she's a star. Great. That's basically how it worked
out. Star is born.
Obviously, a lot of stuff, you know, happened in the midst of that decade, and Clever shut down, and Lily and I then, or at least I went on to start my own channel, and then we launched our own company, because I had never had the opportunity to have my own YouTube channel until Clever shut down, because contractually, I was not allowed to, which is like a whole other weird thing in our business that hopefully is starting to go away. But yeah, most of my background is like in interviewing celebrities, like traditional entertainment news hosting. So like all of the famous celebrities now I was interviewing when they were like 12-year-olds.
Explain Clever a little bit for someone that doesn't know.
Sure. So Clever initially started out back in 2008 when shows like Entertainment Tonight and E! News would never in a million years you guys have ever have had a teenager or a young person on the show. Like those shows.
Especially like a YouTuber.
Yeah. Oh no. YouTube was like a joke at the time. Like my family felt sorry for me. They were like, when are you going to get a real job? So we found this niche with like young entertainment news. This is like in the heyday of like Hannah Montana, the Jonas Brothers, Twilight.
Oh my gosh.
Twilight was like the send-off point.
Yeah, no one was covering on television. People were like, children, teenagers, books turn movies, disgusting. That's so below us. So we were like, damn, we're going to get in on this action. And we started covering all of like the teen and young entertainment news. And like, we just exploded because no one else was doing it. And Twilight was really, and like Justin Bieber, those two are really the things that I would say like grew our channel. And now I think the news brand over at Clever is like 5 million or 4 million subscribers or something like that. So yeah, that was like my big main focus for many years. And then we kind of started doing more personality content on Clever Style, which is what Lil and I ended up doing together. Because weirdly, people were also curious about us as people, which was very strange.
Weirdly.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
You know,
they were invested. Yeah.
Well, so I had started obviously as an intern and then got hired at the only position they could afford to pay me for, which was campaign manager, which I'm like,
that's great. I don't know
what that is.
I'll take it.
$35,000 a year? Sure. That's literally as if just the heaven's gates were opening. And I'm like, then I get it. And I'm like, oh, that's really not very much money at all. But then one of the first, probably the fifth ad campaign I worked on was one for makeup brand. And because we didn't have like a personality presence and it was just news, it was going to be like, get Selena Gomez's makeup look from the VMAs. So then we hired an influencer, which ended up being Megan Rosette, aka Megan Rinks now.
Who Megan Rinks, can you explain who she is briefly? Is because Phil probably doesn't know.
She's one of my best friends. She used to be a like beauty guru. She was like an Alicia.
She still is huge.
Like lifestyle, like this is my morning routine. This is how I decorate my apartment for Christmas. And it was just
very iconic, very sassy. Like,
and then she blew up because she did Vlogmas one year where she documented her recovery of her nose job. Gigi Hadid became a fan, apparently. It was a huge deal. But so I used to be in some of her vlogs, and as she would be in our show that we'd pay her to do that was like so boring. Eventually, brands stopped buying into it because it was terrible. And then Jocelyn started being in it too. And the two of them would like start goofing around because we had all gotten close just from working together. And the next thing you know, I think the first one that took off was Weird Ways to Curl Your Hair.
So ridiculous.
So many dildo jokes because they all, it was just all like weird.
They're very phallic.
Our boss, I can still hear his giggle from when and I started editing them too, because it was like our editors were editing them very like beauty and slow and very like just like step by step, and like I'm aesthetic. Like, no, like cut it, like make it funny, like there's nothing here, so we need to turn it into something. The next thing you know, it was getting like 100,000 views an episode, and Jocelyn was like, wait, people like us? I'm like, yeah, you guys are really funny. And then I would like appear in as a producer once in a while, and then gradually I would appear more, and then also I was free, so I became a host.
I love it. I love it.
It's kind of similar to you, TK, like getting hired by the
literally everything she says. I'm like, oh, I feel like you're living
life. You're like TV.
Except you're not stuck at a company that won't let you do your own channel and puts you on a salary.
Okay, so we're going to pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast, period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which like nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's like all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and like you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is like crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor, and like the main reason why I use it, is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that like basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to everyone of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place. Let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah!
And yeah.
Well, okay. First little crazy question, and then we'll go into more deep stuff. Were you guys team Edward or team Jacob?
Oh my gosh, that's a hard question to answer.
I mean, come on, if you covered all the Twilight stuff.
I don't know what I thought you were going to ask, but that wasn't it.
You know what? You know what? One of my first, well, not one of my first, but a clip that I had that got all over TV was when I would go to the Twilight premieres, you know, and do all the coverage and interview all the people, whatever. It used to be that all the Lakers would go to the Twilight premieres because they would be at Staples Center. And I'm like, I don't know anything about sports. Who the heck even are these people? I only knew Kobe, but he didn't show up because he's like Kobe, you know? Yeah. So I'd ask all the Lakers, I was like, is Kobe team Edward or team Jacob? And like, you know, the Meta World Peace went on a whole rant about it. And that got picked up all over the place. Kobe's, I can't even remember who he picked, but I think I'm team Edward because I felt bad, or sorry, team Jacob. I felt bad for him. You know,
I was team Jacob.
I don't know were, if I ever yeah. really had a preference, but if it was just in terms of who was hotter, I was Team Jacob.
I was Team Jacob too, because of strictly looks. Wait, so I have to ask, you guys are so, I feel like, well-respected, and you have so many friends in the industry. And I feel like that's pretty rare, because you either like have your squad and like pod, or like one person that you're friends with. And a lot of people, like, even though you go to events and stuff, like they keep to themselves, but I feel like you guys are like social butterflies. Like everyone I talk to about you is like, oh my God, I love that. So I just want to know, like, what's your advice and what's your take and approach on like making relationships, maintaining them, collaborating, and working with other people, because you guys are always commenting on my stuff. I always like, you're top of mind for me. And I'm like, how do you do that?
We always talk about one that when we meet someone that went to college, not that that's like a deal breaker for like whether you're going to be sociable or not, but if you went to college, odds are you're much more able to like be in an event and not be in the corner by yourself.
That's so true, because YouTubers are weird.
Well, it's just, I mean, like, if you think you have to learn skills in college about like living with your first roommate and like talking in class out loud and giving, I don't think it's about your education. I think it's more about like the skills you get.
Right? 100%. It's definitely not about the education.
The experience of living alone for sure is growing.
Yeah. And just like being able to like talk to different kinds of people. So I think that's definitely a thing when Joss and I like talk to someone also that has had just like a real job before, and not like a career, like just like any kind of job before, basically that you didn't get famous at 17.
Well, it's not normal or natural to own or like live in a super nice bougie modern apartment at like 16 years old and like not have any social interaction with people. Like that's not normal.
Well, and actually now that you say that, I'd imagine it's also just kind of weird because you don't know what to talk to people about, because people your own age would be like, so like on a different level, but even like at age 30, like,
well, it's like awkward. Yeah. It's awkward because like, you don't want to like talk about your life because it's so like up on a different level compared to like an average college kid. So it's like, you don't want to seem like you're bragging, but that's your life. And so like, I don't know, that is so weird. So you think college, you know,
every time we talk to someone that has been to college or like had some kind of a life before you two, we always go, oh, we met a real adult.
That's so true.
And you know, what's funny is like Adeline, she's like so self-aware. Adeline's a big YouTuber. If you guys don't know who she is, I'm sure you do. She came on our show and she was like, you know, I read something, or my therapist or my life coach or someone told me that a lot of celebrities like Justin Bieber, for example, became famous at 14 in some ways psychologically, to not to your own fault. You just kind of become stuck at that age. And I mean, if that's the case, and like we became semi sort of like a morsel of fame when I was like 30, I'll be 30 forever. That's great. That was amazing. But I think also, I mean, it just comes down to like the kind of person you are. Like, some people are very introverted and don't feel comfortable. I would say Lily and I both love people and talking to people and meeting new people. And then to take it a step beyond, like being a person who thinks about other people. Like, I love nothing more than like connecting cool people. Cause I feel like if you get successful, that's my success too. Cause like, I just love seeing that for other people.
Same.
And I think a lot of people are like scared to share information and scared to share, you know, something that's worked for them or whatever. I'm just not like that. I'm just like, what do you want to know? I'll tell you everything.
That's always
I have
been
no secrets.
That's been a huge thing too. I think it's YouTube, and more so, I feel like it's gotten to this place. I don't think it used to be like this, that it's so competitive and people are so like, oh my God, I have to get my numbers up. And I think one, because Jocelyn and I worked for, I mean, I think the kind of people we are too, even if we always just had our own channels, we wouldn't be like that. But working for a company, it was never like,
it wasn't as much personal ownership.
Yeah, like I don't, not as much personal ownership. And also it's like, no one was really doing the same stuff as, I don't know, everyone's always doing different stuff. Unless you're doing something exactly the same, your personality is at least going to be different. So I don't really like, just because you watch one person doesn't mean you're not going to watch another person. So the whole idea of competition to me is stupid. I'm like, everyone watches YouTube for hours. Like if they
totally.
Like
totally. And if you become a YouTuber, a famous YouTuber at like 14, your self-worth almost like comes with like just being a YouTuber. You're just like, I'm a YouTuber. That's all I have for me. I think that's why a lot of younger people on the platform get super competitive and snarky when it comes to like numbers and sharing information, because if their whole self-worth and everything is in that, and they haven't just simply because of life, haven't experienced other things, like even like going to college or making other relationships mm-hmm. with people your age or whatever it is, like you're so focused on work because it's so time consuming. Maybe that kind of has an effect on it as well.
I guess. Oh, also, absolutely. I think the younger generation, not that I don't like, I mean, I'm not around younger people that often, but like younger, like Gen, what generation is it?
Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Is it? Is that you?
That's me.
That's me too.
Let's go.
See, but you guys don't feel like children. Like, is it still like people in high school? Are they Gen Z right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a very large generation.
Yeah.
That I feel like growing up with social media and stuff, being famous is a career. And for us, it wasn't as much. So it's like, yes, obviously I like need videos to do a certain amount of views to be able to like pay bills and stuff. But I'm never trying, like the thought of getting like 5 million views a video. Oh my God, go away. No, like I don't want that many people watching me at all times. Are you kidding?
It's crazy because I just had like an interview for a company and I mentioned that my sister was like, you worked for YouTuber and was into the industry. And he said, yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realize how big that was until my son, I saw his yearbook and he's in like fourth grade and half the people that it said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And like half the girls and guys said a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like crazy. I was like, NBA basketball player and they just want to be like TikTok or YouTube famous.
Yeah, before I used to always say like when they would say YouTuber, I'm like, what does that mean? Do you want to make videos or do you just want to be famous?
Yeah.
But at this point, you could just want to be famous. Anyone can make videos with your phone and stuff. Like at this point, you don't need to be like super tech savvy to be able to be a YouTuber.
You don't even know need to know really how to edit, because I feel like you can either just do it on your phone. Stream. Yeah, you can live stream, you can do it on your phone, or you can just have someone do it for you, literally.
Yeah,
Phil, why don't you tell them who your interview was with?
Yes, oh my gosh, you're a finance guy. Tell us all the
I
things.
Am.
Was it like Merrill Lynch or something?
No, it was like, no, I don't know what it was.
I wish. It was CAA.
So, okay, well, excuse me. Yes.
Okay.
It was like, did it go well?
Yeah, it was like the first, like, basic interview, like logistic stuffs, but yeah, hopefully the works of becoming an agent have begun. So that's
oh my gosh. I wish we knew someone. I wish we knew someone big over there that we could reach out to. We have to know someone. I'll go on LinkedIn after this. And
I feel like I know a bunch of people that used to work there.
Interning must be so weird right now with COVID too.
Pretty much all of them are virtual, which would stink.
Oh, that sucks.
It is gosh. What it is. Yeah.
Because yeah, being an intern, the best part is to like being just like
following people. What are you doing? Seeing what it's like. Yeah.
Also, I'm like, what do you give an intern virtually? Like, all they do is like do the mail and get coffee. I'm like, what do they get you a virtual coffee? I'm like, what do they do?
maybe. But wait, PK, do you have like a large suit collection? Because I feel like if you're gonna work at an agency, you need a lot of ties.
Not yet. I've only
we need
like
to work on that
right now.
We need to work
I know.
On that.
I was just thinking how I've never had, like, what's a formal interview process like? Because I've, like, literally, I graduated college and went to Clever.
Starts with you usually just apply or you try to connect with somebody that works at the company and they'll send your name to HR or whatever, send your resume over there. And then hopefully they'll do, like, a phone call just to get to know you, see what you're about. And then if that goes well, you'll have, I just did one with a bank and it was, like, 3 hours with three different people and they just ask you a bunch of questions and that's it. And then they'll ask you to come back if they want to talk to you more or not. So
that already gives me anxiety. It's a phone
it's not
interview
very fun.
To start.
Yeah. It's a little bit awkward, but I've gotten used to it. So it's not bad anymore.
We have high hopes. If for some reason CAA is crazy enough to pass on you, you just let us know. We will find you an internship. Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
So speaking of Phil, Jocelyn, when we got on the mic, you said that you and your husband recently went to a frat party.
Yes. So recently is like relative, all the tea. Obviously before COVID.
Recently?
Before COVID.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Last weekend.
So Jocelyn last week at SAE, like fist pumping. Yeah,
exactly. And it was an SAE party. Oh my gosh. I was a Theta at UC Irvine, which is the nerdiest school in America. Everyone goes there to like do research and like whatever, which is great. So my college experience was very different than the people in Arizona, and I'm sure than what you guys are used to in Indiana, because I'm sure it's way more fun. But my husband went to U of A and he was in the fraternity SAE. And when we had been dating for like a long time, his little brother, one of them, because he's the oldest of many boys, was in SAE. And he's like, Chris, that's my husband. He's like, you're a legend in SAE. People still talk about you. I'm like, why? What did you do? You must have done something illegal. He's like, people still talk about you. I would love to have you come to our annual party, this party called Jungle Party, which is very well known. I had no idea at the time, but it's like Playboy's top frat party of the year, every year, like forever. So Christmas.
Iconic.
It looks disgusting.
You guys. So we're like 34 and 35 or whatever. And we rolled at this frat party in Tucson. We drive to Tucson, which is like at the very south part of Arizona, and we have on our swimsuit.
I was gonna say, please tell me you wore like a cheetah skirt or something.
And you know that they both look like Barbies.
Oh yeah, they literally. Jocelyn and her husband are so hot, Phil. Like I have to show you photos. They literally look like
you're very sweet.
A Barbie couple.
We're all the frat guys hitting on you.
I think they were like kind of confused. Like I was a weird grad student. Like, what are you doing here? Like, are you like a 12th year senior? What's happening? So we roll into this party. You guys, the budget for this party was $80,000.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God. That makes me want to throw up knowing what it looked like.
You guys, they hired a real architect to create plans to turn the backyard of the SAE house into a swimming pool. Oh, all right, it was
Shut
crazy.
Up.
There was a DJ from Vegas who got paid $40,000 to be there. Jeez. And the moment I left was immediately following me getting kicked out of the DJ booth. Ooh. Because I tried to sneak in unsuccessfully.
Jocelyn!
And, you know, old habits die hard. Then also I saw a guy who I thought like might die, and I was like, we gotta go. I'm like, this is like, I'm too old for this. People are getting too crazy. I mean, but you guys, it was like nothing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like just totally out of control. People living there, having so much fun. But I decided to retire from frat life at that moment. So I went out on a really high note. And if any of you ever find yourself at U of A, I definitely recommend checking out Jungle Party.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
I look back to stuff like that and I'm like, I remember a time when I enjoyed it, but I had to be so drunk. I feel like that party is the epitome of the meme about the vaccine. Like if you've gone to SAE,
yes,
party, you don't, it doesn't matter what's in the
it's
vaccine.
Like if you've been to a Vegas day pool party, like you're fine getting the vaccine.
Yes, exactly. So PK, I'm just like genuinely curious, what is allegedly happening with frat life right now? Allegedly, obviously, because everyone is following
all the bros must be so sad.
But like, what are people doing for fun in college? Because that's like all college is for, besides getting a great education, obviously.
Yeah, here at IU, it's been a little difficult because obviously we can't have guests here at the house and have parties. So the main thing we've been doing is just going to bars. The bars are open here, but you have to sit down and you can only have like eight people at a table. So we do that. We go to some live out houses. If you guys live out, so they have a few parties there, and we go to some girls' houses and do that. So we try to have fun, but it's definitely not the same.
I feel like right now. COVID college sounds like something 30-year-old me would love. Like everyone just sits down. There's only like eight people at a time. It's great. Yeah.
The bouncer's always telling people to sit down and go back to their tables because everybody's always moving around.
The dream.
I have to ask, Phil, what do you feel like now that you're like so restricted? What like is the one thing you wish you could have back? Like, because you can't do because of the pandemic.
Honestly, the worst thing is, this is crazy, but at the bar, they make one person put their card down.
Oh, no.
Table. So if you get your card down, you're left with like a $350 bill. And then you're like, do I want to make the girls pay? Do I want to request the girls? And That stinks. Gosh. And you just get screwed every time.
Like that's a new thing because of COVID?
Yeah. Because they don't want people, because they don't think everybody will pay, I guess.
Well, and also they don't want you moving around. They just want you at your table, right?
Like at a normal bar, you just go up, get a drink, give them a card, sign the check, and then you go. And now they just hold the card for you.
Oh, I got it. They just don't want to do as many exchanges.
Yeah, exactly.
That's tragic. You guys should like do a quarterly sign up and each take turns.
Yeah, we try our best to do that. Thank God for Venmo, because I don't know what we would do without if Venmo didn't exist for that.
Oh my God.
I'm just thinking, like, did I have Venmo in college? I don't know. No. We didn't, like, we didn't even have Uber.
I don't know how you guys
probably not. You're old.
You guys, I can't imagine not having Uber.
I am the same age as Mark Zuckerberg. Like, I was the first year of Facebook. Like, I am.
Don't make that comparison.
Facebook. Like, I remember I was on Facebook when you had to be like invited.
I was too.
Only like 10 schools. It was like very small.
Wow. And,
like, I didn't even have a cell phone.
You needed to have a college email address.
Yeah.
And then I think for the like after there was like a second round where then college email addresses could invite other people.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it only like texting? Like, is that how you talk to guys? Was Lily just only getting their phone number?
Absolutely not. My parents.
What do you, as opposed to what? Snapchat?
My parents, yeah, or Snapchat or GroupMe?
No, my parents.
That's so fucking weird. That's so that is that mean like you don't really like? Do you get a girl's number if you're really into her? But like if you aren't,
yeah,
if you're like, then it's just Snapchat.
If it's casual, it's Snapchat. But if it's like
that, would be like if a guy was only asking me for my snap, I'd be like, oh fuck.
My brother-in-laws that are like 18 and 19, they only snap. They don't even use their phones.
Yeah.
Or their phone numbers for anything. It's like you're so antiquated. If you're using your phone number.
I haven't logged into my Snapchat in like I'd say 3 years at least.
Yeah.
I only Snapchat to scheme. Like if I know there's like a cute guy I want to talk to, but like I don't want to be that committed. That's when I'll send a snap because I'm like, we'll see what happens.
See, I think that's even if I was using it, it would be like posting like what are they called, stories on Snapchat too?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's like the big thing is Snapchat stories. Like people don't put really Instagram stories in college of what they're doing. It's always
also they have like
that. That makes sense.
They have like Snapchat, like private stories. So if you get on someone's private story, that's where they're posting all like,
so that's like
the whack ass shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like their close friends.
You guys be careful.
I know.
I can't imagine. I mean, I would be like, I wouldn't have a job. Well, I think I'd have like a better job, but, no, like I cannot, like even some of the pictures we have, I'm like, ooh, we shouldn't have taken those. And now I'm thinking like, thank God.
Wait, Jocelyn and Lily, I feel like you guys should do TikToks where you're like doing literally a 15 second tip on like how to grow or like how to network or like businessy, because I feel like that is such a open market in like the TikTok space because everyone's like so young. I'm doing air quotes right now, but I'm like, you guys could actually give like good tangible tips and advice on like how to make it and maintain your.
Do you guys see people that this is one thing I'll never understand. I've seen it advertised on Facebook. I mean, I've been on Facebook a long time, but I used to see it a lot on Facebook. I don't usually see it on YouTube, but then TikTok has a lot too of people that give advice on like how to grow your social following and how to speak to your audience, but they don't
have no following.
Audience. And I'm like, who are you?
I'll try to mix it in with some of my dancing videos, you know, or whatever else I post on TikTok. I still haven't found my voice on TikTok. I'm still working on it.
Just recently, I'm like, I'm going to blow up on TikTok. I'm just manifesting it. I'm like, I know I'm going to go TikTok viral. Like, this is my time, right? This is my generation. This is like my bread and butter. I don't have to edit. Like, I'm Gucci flip-flops because sometimes I hate editing.
And you say things like that.
Oh
no, but I feel like you can say something in 15 seconds and be like, ah, that's relatable. I like it.
So in my head, the way I'm have it different in my head from Instagram, like reels and stories to TikTok, because I was like, we have all these different platforms. I'm like, how can I, you know, have so-and-so be this, so-and-so be this, like categorize it in my head. And the second I started thinking of TikTok like it was my close friends on Instagram, like my private story almost, that's when things started just like clicking. Like I was like, what would I tell my best friend that they would think is funny, but like it's not like aesthetic enough to say on Instagram? That's what works on TikTok for me.
Well, so, I like that. I like that.
I was even thinking, because so many people do like quick little story times, and those are what did so well on my YouTube channel, but I like just don't want to sit and film them and edit them. And even most recently,
same.
The whole thing about Northwest being the next Bob Ross and painting. And then I fucking went to that art place and I painted that. Oh my God. The daughter of the girl went viral on TikTok for saying that North really did it. And I'm like,
I could have been
sure. Should I do that too?
Really? No, I know what you mean. It is. I think for creators that have been established, they're like, oh, another thing I have to like think about. But once you start just like putting random shit up and like seeing how it does, I feel like that weirdly does well on TikTok. And I was talking to a TikToker today that I follow, and she just DM'd me and she was asking me about podcasting. She's like, I need help. And she was like, text me or call me or like FaceTime me if you're free. So I FaceTimed this random ass TikToker, literally. And we talked for like an hour while I was on the Peloton. So I was like giving her advice and I was like, yeah. And then you like do this and like, hold on. I'm like, I'm literally going double times the speed now. But long story short, she said her approach to it, cause she's gone viral on TikTok. She said her approach has been, she posts like literally, I'm not kidding you, like 20 random TikToks or random things a day. And whatever doesn't do well, she'll delete because she feels like it builds her credibility when people go to her profile and they see like only good views. They're like, oh, this clearly
is like how I feel like when a YouTube video bombs. I'm like,
you're like, how can I archive this?
Yeah, I'm like, fuck, but it was a good video and I want people to see it, but no one will now if they see the photo. But I was just going to say, it does seem like TikTok, but actually that kind of contradicts it. I was going to say, it seems like TikTok people are much less precious about what they're uploading, and they will upload like 5 videos of them doing the exact same dance. And I'm like, really?
It's so trial and error.
Josh said, you know, who I love on BFFs. That's his
yes,
name, right?
Same. Yeah. I love BFFs.
Podcast.
Phil loves BFFs too.
Yes. What a freaking weird show. And I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
He was like, oh yeah, I figured out that kid, by the way, like everybody's sleeping genius on how smart he is, because he has investments. He has a portfolio. He has so much going on. He's a very interesting person. But he was like, I have the algorithm figured out. I was uploading like 5 videos a day. They're all literally basically the same thing.
He's so literally a genius.
Oh no, he
look
really
at all,
he
all
really
of the
is
ones that do dances and stuff. I'm like, that's literally all they're doing. They just do it a lot and they're hot.
Yeah.
Which is weird for me to say that, but you know it subjectively.
But you guys, I think all 4 of us should get together and commit to like a 10-day time period of becoming TikTok stars. See what happens.
I think we should start a group chat. I think wait, I have a question for Phil. So he's like kind of said like, oh yeah, I would kind of want to start a YouTube channel or like kind of take the TikTok thing seriously. And I feel like there's no like normal college, like straight guys doing the thing. So like, what advice do you have? I feel like you guys
should do
off
it already, because I have literally said this. I have a friend that lives in Miami now and went to ASU with me, and he's from Newport, lives in Miami, literally goes to Ibiza all the time and is just like not a real person. And we still talk, but like he's on like this wavelength and I'm like, I'm a grandma and gonna go to sleep. I say all the time, I was like, I just want to follow you around and like show everyone what you do. I don't think I can keep up, and like, God knows what kind of drugs they're doing as well. But I'm just like, I'm so fascinated by how much they do. And it was like that even in college that, I mean, I did a lot more in college, but like, I can't imagine if my guy friends had filmed everything. I'm like,
that's too felonious. It's too much potential, like imprisonment.
But also like girls would love to watch that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what I was gonna say?
A good party montage. Are you?
Oh yes. My god!
Isn't there that group of guys that goes to all the colleges that got in trouble?
The Nelk Boys.
Yes. The Nelk Boys.
What about?
So you could just be like a less obnoxious.
But then I'd be like the bad guy, like going.
No. But then you just be like a less obnoxious, true. Like you, the one you can be the one that people want to hang out with.
Think about like Olivia Jade. Remember her before all of her sad things happened with her family? Mm-hmm. And she was going to USC and she was filming like in her dorm room and like just like even not necessarily going to parties, but just showing like
the
college.
Most I've seen
you
the
should
most
do that
basic vlogs get recommended to me, and it'll be like first week in the dorms. And I'm like, oh, I'll click
it'll on. It'll be like getting they ready. Doing?
They literally don't even show you anything.
It's like it's getting like, ready for my class. First. Yeah.
And then they go, but they don't show anything. And they're like, I just went to this party. I'm like,
cool, and it's million views. Yeah. Yes.
Still, what about exchanges? Do those still exist? Is that still What's a that? Word? Like, it's like a date party with another sorority where you like dress in like a costume.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's a date party.
Date party. Where you have a theme. Date party. Like, gosh, I would watch that. That would be so fun to see.
And everyone, I feel like everyone in frats and sororities is drunk and obnoxious and would want to be on camera.
Exactly.
Like, it wouldn't be like a, oh, don't film me. It'd be like, yeah, over here.
I might have to pull the camera out this weekend.
Be the David Dobrik of,
oh my gosh, Lily, say that again.
You need to be the David Dobrik of the frat community.
Yes.
Because then you don't have to be in the videos. That's the key.
Exactly.
Just use my friends.
And literally. He has a Canon G7X, you guys.
You're a That's vlogger. All you need. You're a vlogger. Do you have iMovie? You're set.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad we have your life planned. This is fantastic.
We'll manifest it.
Yeah, we'll manifest it.
But I think there's a very wholesome-ish, like a PG-13 way to do all of this, where you just like start dipping your toe in the waters.
Like a reality version of Greek.
Yes. Oh my gosh, do you guys even know what that show is? It was on ABC Family, which
Taylor, you would love it.
I've heard
of it.
It's
so good.
It's really cute.
But it's also like you watch it and you're like, college is a little crazier than that. They're like, the craziest thing they do is like a keg stand.
Yeah. Well, what's great though too is about being a YouTuber is like you have control of the edit. So you have like the final call on everything. Like Alicia and I always will be like, just say it and then we can edit it out. And that's like the beauty of like being your own boss is like if something's too crazy
or you editing.
Yeah, or you can have, you know, I mean, he has so many connections. He can have myself, Alicia, anyone look over the vlog to make sure it's okay before it's uploaded.
His PR team.
Yeah, literally. Because now I feel like this year it's made every influencer into a publicist.
Totally. Definitely the most stressful year. And I've been doing YouTube for like an eternity. I would say this year has definitely easily been the most stressful as far as navigating like, what's appropriate? What should I say? What should I not say? How do I handle this? How do I approach the, you know? So yeah, I think it is definitely something that everybody's thinking about right now. It's just been really wild. 2020 and 2021.
Moving on. I have one last question for you guys. Since you guys are so respected and, you know, have done so well in this whole crazy industry, I want to know, is there any one person that has totally taken you under your wing? Because Alicia's totally taken me under hers. And who's that one person that has like totally changed things for you and opened the door and helped you when they didn't have to? And can you just like shout them out and give us a little tidbit about that?
I'd say mine would be like a hybrid between Jocelyn, Dana, our other like original co-host of Clever, and Megan. All kind of collectively, Dana and Joss more so like literally being like, hello, young child, you're going to come be a star. Like, let me put you into the spotlight. And then Megan just being very, because I used to edit a lot of her videos that we would just collaborate a lot.
Which Lily is an insane editor and storyteller. Yeah.
The best on YouTube.
Like insane, Phil. She's so good.
The goat.
Thanks, guys. But so I think we really, and also a big advice for anyone that does want to get into working in the space, that if you can at all work for a YouTuber like Taylor did too, like that's the best situation ever, because you're actually learning stuff and being able to, like, me and Megan were able to like collaborate creatively, and it wasn't just like, oh, I'm working for someone. It was like I was helping her, she was helping me, and it just felt super organic, but also was still work, so that was nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think Joss and Dana, otherwise it, like, I would have just kept being like producer behind the scenes, but they were
kept painting Northwest forceful. Painting
you're a star, you're like a Disney Channel star. I'm just gonna push you into the spotlight. For me, you know, interestingly, I like you said, PK, I'm big into manifesting. I still don't even know what that means, but I am a person
who,
I love putting things out into the universe, because it's like, if you say something out loud, I feel like that's so brave. This is not a brave statement I'm about to make, by the way, but I have been actively looking for like a mentor in our industry since I started. And it's been weird because like when I started in this business, it was so new. Like there's been multiple times, like you guys, one time we did a Google hangout with Fifth Harmony and Google and YouTube were like,
they were in their bedrooms.
They were all at home. They had just made it big. And we reached out to Google and YouTube and we were like, how do we do this? And they were like, we've never done this either. LOL. Good luck. Like, I just feel as though there's not a lot of,
you were such like an early person in the industry.
Yeah.
There's not hard to find someone that has done.
Well, there's a lot of people.
It's still changing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are definitely very accomplished, but I would love to find a female woman in the business that I could really like come under her wing. But I always feel like the things you want are the things you should actually give. So I really enjoy like helping people, whether it's Lily or whoever. But I've had so many people give me a shot, you guys. Like I was so bad when I first started hosting, like so painfully bad. But I would do anything. I was like, Tofu Festival taste test? Yes, I'm there. I would love to try all the tofu in Los Angeles. Absolutely.
Guys, and if you've seen some of the videos she has done, I should send you, I did a 10-year history of Clever and it talks about them starting in George's garage. But like her and Dana used to do the weirdest shit because they just like had to and no one else would. And
but I have a lot of people who've given me a shot. Like I would probably say the first people who gave me an opportunity on public access in Los Angeles, which for those of you guys, I don't even know if that exists anymore. It's like a free channel. It's like one of the fuzzy channels on TV that everybody gets for $0. I used to be a reporter there starting when I was 18, like fresh out of high school. I was so horrible. So those people gave me my start. I appreciate them wherever they are now. But I've had so many kind and generous people. And I think that is the misconception with the entertainment business that I always love to sort of say is not true, is that there are amazing people. You just have to find them. That's definitely it. And they're usually not in the club. No offense. You know?
So also I think and just being open to talking to people when it might not be something that's like immediately beneficial for you, even you saying that you were just talking to the TikToker while you're on your Peloton, that's not something that like a lot of people are doing. But like if you're open to like having a random hour-long conversation with someone, who knows what they're going to be doing in 3 years or what you're doing in 3 years, and maybe you guys can work together, refer each other or whatever.
Totally. I think also just be a good person and do the things you say you're going to and run yourself like a business, whatever
that means. Lunch now and adjust later.
Exactly. And I think both of you, and I mean, PK, you as well, obviously, but you know, something I've always loved about you, Taylor, ever since I met you is that you are like the real deal. Like you could very easily have a job anywhere if you want to. But I think doing your own thing and being an entrepreneur and like being your own creator, the upside is unlimited. Like your growth potential is unlimited. Whereas if you work for a company, you know, you can kind of like hit a peak or feel like you've hit a peak. And it's just so freeing to feel like you have no limits. And so I'm totally so excited.
Yeah, it was honestly such a cool experience because I was so motivated. She was giving me advice on my TikToks and then I was giving her advice on like her TikToks and social media career, because I feel like she's way bigger than me on TikTok, but I'm way more established just as a brand with like YouTube and Instagram and the whole shebang. So she was kind of asking me about the brand side of things and like how to grow your YouTube. And I was like, what do you think I should do on TikTok? And we were like, so helping each other. And she also connected me with this other guy TikToker. And she was like, oh yeah, I FaceTime with him all the time. Like I just met him on TikTok. So I ended up texting that guy today and we're going to end up FaceTiming later this week. But it was so crazy to be like that. They were so eager to help and like network. And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. I definitely want to take advantage of it more. So
and not network in like a, hi, will you shout me out and do that? Like there is organic networking where people just want to like know other people in the industry. And I think especially Joss just saying that like, there isn't a whole lot of like, it is still like people figuring it out. And there's not all these mentors around. So I think people kind of need to help each other because everyone does navigate it a little differently. So if we can all be a little more open about how we're doing it.
And I think you're going to just get start getting more and more of this, like as your career grows, TK. It's like the one advice I give to like interns especially is, and this works in any field, by the way, is when you reach out to someone to say like, hey, can I pick your brain? Which is like the most common phrase of all time. You also need to, and I recommend, have something to offer. Because here's totally. What I can help you with. I saw that you're on Instagram. Maybe I can help you with X, Y, and Z. If you ever need any help from me, please let me know. When people reach out to me to like ask me for help, and then they also immediately have already offered me help, I'm like, respond, top of the email box. You know, it just makes you a little bit more of a valuable asset and also a generous person, which I think is a good look.
And it shows that they value your time. Which totally. Is like all you want is just to be like, no, like instead of expecting you to be there all the time to help, it's just like, no, I understand that your time is so valuable and it would mean so much to me. That's like all it's saying. So
for sure. Yeah,
you guys, speaking of time, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my God. It has been an absolute delight. And I wish we could hang out like in person all the time, but the panty.
And I just want to say, whoever your parents are, I hope they're listening and watching. They must be very lovely people because I think it's so special that you guys are siblings and you're so close. I think there's nothing more important in life than having close relationships. Before I start crying, continue.
I like use that clip for my like all my it's like Jocelyn guys. Well, anyway, it's been an absolute delight. Thank you guys so much. I cannot thank you enough. And where can everyone follow you? I want all give me all the handles.
Well, I'm Jocelyn Davis everywhere, literally every single platform you can imagine. And then Lily and I also have a channel and a company together called Shared Channel. And we have two YouTube channels there as well. And a podcast, which you can listen to TK on. So yeah, kind of all over the place.
And then I'm at Lily_Marston because Lily Marston was taken years ago and I've never changed it. So it's that on everything. And
come
then,
on, Lily Marston, give it to her.
The Lil's channel with a Z because I'm real cool. That's my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. And I hope you have the best week ever.
Yeah, thank you, you guys
too.
So much. That was a
nice
lot of
fun.
Nice to meet you, PK.
PK, let us know when you're interning. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
All right, I will.
And when to watch your frat vlogs. I'll jump in and be on the PR team.
We'll be looking for your TikToks, ladies.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
We'll start brainstorming.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we will chat soon and hopefully we can hang out in person one day soon. And I'll see you guys later.
Thank you.